She's also going to speak to the Centerway Church this afternoon. And here is the official intro that we sent to them to read. In a high school in Syracuse, Elise West was given a dream by God to design a home, marry, and adopt children with disabilities. And surprisingly, to all but the God who arranged it, she has found herself called by him, working with the disabled over the last 14 years, and has now opened the first home in Kherson, Ukraine, for such people. She's been traveling the States since October of last year, sharing the beauty of Stephen's home with any who are willing to listen. And if you'd be interested in hearing about something good in Ukraine, she would love to talk with you at her table after today's assembly. And that's all true, but we get to hear her here now. Unofficially, that was the official intro. Unofficially, I would like to say that out of all of the kids who have ever spent time at Mountain View, Elise is one of the most sweet-spirited, servant-hearted, smartest, nicest, gentlest, Jesus-following girl I've ever had the pleasure to befriend. Since then, she has become a fearless missionary to parts unknown, trusting God and seeing him come through time and time and time again. So Elise went from being one of my favorite campers at Mountain View to one of my heroes in life. Seriously. The kind of person about whom, when they're done, people write books about, and generations down the road praise her memory, and to whom Jesus says, well done, really well done. She is going to share what she's doing and how you might choose to help her with that. I have two footnotes here. Number one, Elise is a very quiet talker. She is like exactly opposite of me. She is one of the quietest speakers that you will ever meet. So we're going to give her a microphone. In fact, we might give her several. And when you can't hear her, raise your hand and she'll know that she should talk louder, okay? Secondly, two times during her talk right now, we're going to have to cut off our transmission out to the world so that we can show a video here without endangering people in Ukraine. So here we will watch a video. If you're watching online, there will be a time of silence and blackness two times while she's speaking. Please don't go away, we'll come back. Thank you, Elise, for coming and speaking. Please do.
Good morning. That was quite the introduction. I'm honored to be here with you today. And you might ask why Ukraine? And all I can share with you is the Lord said, that's where I want you to go, and I said no. And I said no many times. I spent a semester in college right after one of my closest friends, Gabriel Jones, was killed in a car accident. But I had planned to, and my parents had paid for a semester in England abroad, and they said, sorry, we can't not have you go. It's paid in full, so you're going. And that was one of the most difficult semesters in college because I didn't know that I was going to experience culture shock, for one thing. Being in England, they speak the same language, and I thought, well, surely that won't happen. Well, it did. And just being that for that long a period away from my family was one of the hardest things at that time. And I thought, okay, Lord, you've prepared Wendy's heart, my younger sister, and she's thinking of going overseas, so I'll be the one supporting her overseas, and that sounds great. So she spent a summer semester in college in Burkina Faso, West Africa, and I thought, okay, this is great. And then she did her master's degree and taught English as a second language in China, and so that thinking just continued in my mind. And then the Lord asked me to go on a mission trip to Ukraine. And I said, no, I'm not interested in going to Ukraine. A couple of friends asked me, and for both of them, it was a very quick no. I'm not interested in going. But I was in a Bible study with a couple from Nigeria, and we were doing a very, very intense study through the book of Exodus, and we got to the portion where Moses was giving the Lord all the reasons why he wasn't going back to Egypt. And verbatim, I was giving the Lord the same exact reasons as to why in the world I wasn't going to Ukraine. I don't know the language. I can't teach English. I don't have the background and understanding to do so. And it just hit home. I'm going, Lord. I'm going, aren't I? And so after 2 weeks of being there, 2 days before we left, the Lord spoke to my heart clearly and said, "You're coming back." And I was like, why in the world would I come back to Ukraine? And so I wrestled with that for months following, leading up to Christmas. And I was sitting in church through the month of December, every single Sunday, the pastor of the church was asking people to come forward and commit their lives to Christ. And what he was telling me is I was needing to go forward and commit my life to missions. And I said, I was terrified. I was like, I can't do that. Finally, the Sunday right before Christmas, I was sitting next to a lady who was a mentor to me at the time. And she said, "Elise, this is what you've been praying for. This is the Lord's answer." And I said, "Oh, okay, I'll do this." And it was a week after Christmas that I got an email from the couple, the pastor and his wife, that we had been working with through the summer. And they said, "We want you to come and work with our church here in Ukraine. Will you come?" And so I went and lived with them for 2 months. And I simply shared with them, I said, "I don't have any idea why the Lord wants me to come to Ukraine, but I'll come. But my interest is children." And we tried several different things, plugging me into working with kids in their church, working with kids in a local school for the deaf. None of it just seemed to click. And about halfway through that time period, a team came from the States, and we went to the local orphanage for kids with physical disabilities. And on our way, the pastor's wife, Svetlana, told me, she said, "Elise, there's kids here in this orphanage that are really, really difficult to work with, and you probably just don't even want to meet them." And I said, "Okay." So we went, and we came home that day, and I knew in my heart I needed to go back and meet those children. And so we did a week later. And the gal who was working there at the orphanage at that time with these kids basically came out and she shared. She said, "Elise, unless we as volunteers come in and work with these children, nobody comes and picks them up. Nobody holds them. Nobody touches them. They're in bed all day." And I knew in a heartbeat that's what the Lord was calling me to do. So I'm going to share this first video with you as kind of an introduction, and then I'll share more about what's going on right now, 14 years after I went full-time. So I know you might be asking yourself the question, well, Ukraine has been taken over now. How does this ministry move forward? I'll share with you, over the last 2 years through COVID, our first group home has opened. We have a family now living in Stephen's home. Because of COVID, we couldn't go into the adult institutions. We couldn't go into the orphanages because of quarantine. And so we really focused on how do we get the home up and functioning. And the Lord just began opening doors. We had already established a nonprofit organization in Ukraine called Promise. It's It went in, it's been official since 2014, but it wasn't until the December of 2020 that we became officially an organization that was recognized by the local government as a provider of social services. And with that permission, we received the knowledge and understanding that we could then bring young men into Stephen's home. Because the young men that we're going to be bringing into Stephen's home are legally incapable. They have that status simply because through their life, they haven't been diagnosed, they've been labeled. And through the first years that I spent in Ukraine, what I learned is that they aren't seen as people. The value of men and women with disabilities, especially those with mental disabilities, are seen as less than dogs. And so trying to help bring these young men and women into community is countercultural. They're in the in Ukraine still. But I have a team of workers that have started working in the home who value these young men that we've moved into Stephen's home, and they value the fact that they were created by God. And so, like the video shared, we're trying to help others see and acknowledge that they have potential, and it's potential that the Lord has given them in the lives that they live. So my house parents, Vyacheslav and his wife, Natasha, have moved into the home with their youngest son, Kostya. They have lived there now for 2 years, and it was through the first year that we worked through how the home was going to work and how they were going to be a part of it. And then in February of this last year, we started to move young men into the home. I'll share with you, working in the orphanage through the first 4 to 6 years that I was there helped me to understand and grasp why I was seeing the abuse that I was seeing. And it was simply because these kids are not valued. They're just a job, and the nannies don't care because nobody cares. And so the Lord really worked in my heart to help me to understand, okay, I didn't feel like I was making a difference. I was spending days and days through the week trying to help them understand that what I was seeing and what they were doing wasn't actually helping the children, but it was actually causing more problems than it was help. But they didn't want to listen to me because I'm just an American who thinks I know it all. And so it was through a lot of days of patience, just trying to assist the nannies and trying to help them to understand that I wasn't there to tell them what to do, but to assist and be a help to them. But again, I got to the point where I was like, okay, Lord, I've been here for 6 years and things still seem to be functioning the way they were when I first came. What is it that you want me to do? And it was then that he placed in my heart the need to create an alternative. And Stephen's home is one of three group homes in the country for young adults with mental and physical disabilities. The country as a whole has been moving towards shutting down the orphanage systems to move children into group homes because Ukraine has been wanting to become part of the EU, and now they are as a result of the war that started. But that movement has been focused on the children alone and not the adults. And I spoke with the gentleman who is the director to the president of the country, and he shared the adults are simply too difficult to work with. It's too much to focus on both the children and the adults right now. But at the same time, the adults are still stuck in the system. And so the focus with my team has been specifically on the adults, because those adults were the children that I started working with 14 years ago. And their need to know that they're loved, the need to know that they're valued, is still the same. And so the region that I've been working in is the region of Kherson that's been taken over. But that doesn't change the fact that the needs are still the same. The young men that are in Stephen's home still need to know that they're valued. The young men in the adult institutions still want to be a part of a family. They still want people to see them as equals. And so whether I'm in Ukraine or working from a distance, the reality is these young men need sponsorship so that we can continue to provide what we're providing for them in Stephen's home. As Stephen's home is just the first of multiple homes that we hope to build as handicap accessible places where they can become part of a family. I'd like to share with you one other video. It's one about the young men that are currently living in the home. The home is large enough to house up to 13 guys. Right now we have 5 who've been living in the home. One of them is actually back at the orphanage. The director requested that he come back to the orphanage for a time, and then the invasion in Ukraine began. So he's not with us right now, but we're just trusting, moving forward, because the Lord is in control and this is his project. So I'll let you show the second video. I'd like to ask you all this morning if you would prayerfully consider how you personally can be a part of what's going on in Ukraine right now. I'd like to read to you briefly from the book of James, the first chapter, verses 19 through 27. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank, growth of wickedness, and welcome the meekness and planted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers, who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in the mirror, and for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they are like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. I understand that caring for orphans in Ukraine is not something you can physically do, but you can help those who are physically doing so on a daily basis by sponsoring the young men who are in Stephen's home. If you're interested in doing that, please come and talk with me. I have sponsorship forms in the back for the young men that are in the home. Like I shared, there's 5 currently. The other 8 that we want to move into the home are planned because they're young men that we've worked with over the last 14 years. And the Lord if he's going to move this forward, is going to move this forward and help bring those eight men into Stephen's home, despite the circumstances in the country right now. So I'd simply ask for your prayer, prayer for the team of workers who are there. They are actually living in the home right now because it's not safe to go anyplace else. They can't even go into the city where our office is at because of all the checkpoints along the way. And the Russian military are not going to pause if they want to shoot somebody. So we are, they're holding up there at Stephen's home to take care of the guys. There's four families doing so with their children. You can be in prayer for them because there is a shortage of food. They have monetary supplies, but if there's nothing to buy, it doesn't help. So if you could be in prayer for the team that's there at Stephen's home, but just the people in general, the Christians that are in the area, for their faith to be strong. I know the Lord is doing mighty things through this time. So I just ask for your encouragement and blessing through prayer in this way for us as a ministry. So thank you. It's an honor to be here this morning. And if you have questions, I'm more than willing to answer them. So thank you.